It's the Lost Years Pod. Lost Years Pod. Running through this show called Boy Meets World is what we're doing. Sid and Tay are your friends who will always stand by you. It's the Lost Years Pod.
Hello and welcome to The Lost Years, a retrospective fan cast. I'm Tay.
I'm Sid.
And this is season 3, episode 15.
Wow.
Can I just say, we've had a time just starting the podcast.
It's not been going well.
Every VoIP is bad. And that is an opinion I will stick by.
Yeah. And it has happened since we started doing our podcast, and it just That's feels true. Like every single week is, who knows? Who knows
what's going to work today? It's always a grab bag. Which one are we going to use? Is it Skype? Is it Discord? Is it Zoom? Who knows? Not me. Not you. Right now it's Zoom, but who knows how long that's going to last? We'll see.
It won't be next week.
It probably won't be next week. But enough about next week. What are you nostalgic for this week?
Wow. Good transition.
Thank you. I'm a professional.
I have kind of touched on this in the past, but this is a very general nostalgia for me. I am nostalgic for all of the old 2000s kids gaming websites. And I mean all of them. So, like, Club Penguin, obviously. And we, right. you know, of course, have the Disney Channel and Cartoon Network Disney and Nick Channel. And all those com. Things.
Yeah.
But then it gets really specific with MyScene and Polly Pockets and Millsbury.com. That was one that I remembered this past week.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah. There was, like, a Merriam-Webster kids version or kids website. That's the one that I could not find the name for the life of me. But I remember playing it. I know it exists because it was all about words. But yeah, I don't know. Just something about playing all of the old websites where everybody just went to different websites all the time. It was not all living in one area. They were all just random games that you could play. Like, MyScene was probably one of my favorites of all time, as was Millsbury. And, like, Neopets. Just, like, any website.
I mean,
so many of them. But yeah, they were all fun. All of them.
The internet was, like, a really interesting place as a kid, because like most of our generation was born before Google. So we like both we grew up during the expansion and explosion of like technology and the way that it's changed. And I just find that very fascinating. Like, I learned to type because I was on DisneyChannel.com all the time. Like, that was the first thing I learned how to type without looking. That's just so interesting. The internet in our childhood. Fascinating. A fascinating place.
Yeah, because, I mean, even with things like Millsbury, which is literally just General Mills making a website and having all of the different games. And then I remember playing, like, there was a Waffle Crisp-specific game. I think it was, like, Postopia was the website. But just random things that I don't even think that you can find them or any type of, like, rewritten version, like how they did Club Penguin for a minute. But everybody had a website. It's the best.
It's pretty wild to think about, like, the internet exploding like that, giving us the opportunity to, like, everybody made a website because that's what the internet was doing, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There was another one. What was it called? I don't even remember what it was called. Do you remember? There was like a Lunchable website too.
No, I don't remember that one.
Oh my God. I got to find these and actually just screenshot and reference them or do something. But
yeah, you can post them.
But yeah, Toontown, there's like Wizard 101. There's just all these other games that you could play. And they were all exciting. There was one on, I think, Postopia where I like designed bedrooms that were like, it was crazy.
Designed bedrooms.
It may have been a whole house, but I remember doing the bedroom. But yeah, they were all fun. What are you nostalgic for?
You know, as I do every week, I came unprepared. But talking about this, AIM. I'm nostalgic for AIM.
Heck yeah.
AOL Instant Messenger, for those uninitiated. And that was, you know, obviously, because I didn't prep this literally at all, I think it's really fascinating to think about how we used to communicate as children, because like before really texting was a thing, like the first time a boy told me he loved me was on AIM. And, like, That's an insane sentence. Like, that's crazy. So yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was really fun as a kid. Like, I definitely wasn't allowed to use AIM, and I would just like sneak and use it. I remember when that boy that I was quote unquote dating, I would like print out our conversations so I could show my friends.
You're like, it's legit.
Yeah. And it's just so funny to think about, like, because I'm sure there were like adults who used that to communicate with like faraway friends. And it was like, but there was also just like making your AOL like profile pictures, little like literally GIFs, like sparkling quotes and, you know, your away messages and all that stuff is just like so wild and like a very small piece of culture. Like, I don't think anybody uses AOL anymore, but like everybody knew what it was and had it for like, that was the only internet for a long time. And then all of a sudden everybody had like high speed and you didn't have to dial. So I don't know, something specifically about like AIM, and I'd say AOL as a whole, but AIM specifically is like just cheeky little memories. Being a dumb kid and communicating with your friends.
The away messages were crazy too, because they were always extremely deep for no reason.
And we quote unquote deep.
Elementary school.
Or passive aggressive.
You really just wanted to stick it to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I remember, because you could like customize the colors and everything too of what your messages look like. And
it was like vaguely programming. A little bit.
We were doing a lot of work to actually make this a fun function for ourselves. But I can vividly think of the sound.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can hear the sound very clearly in my head of just messaging back and forth. And that's crazy because I can't explain that to anybody. But if you know, you know.
Exactly.
And that's fun.
That's special. Yeah. So that was my completely spur of the moment nostalgia thing. Thank you for yours, because it just spurred mine. Do you want to get into it?
Yeah. Season 3, episode 15 is titled "The Heart is a Lonely Hunter." The episode aired on February 2nd, 1996. It was directed by Jeff McCracken and was written by Michael Jacobs, April Kelly, and Kevin Kelton. And the synopsis is, Sean starts to have serious feelings for nice girl Dana Pruitt, but she has doubts that Sean is boyfriend material.
Oh, man. Boyfriend material is quite a phrase. And, you know, people use it a lot. There's like that one pickup line that's like, oh, feel my shirt. You know what it's made of? Boyfriend material. And that's cute. But I don't know. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say boyfriend material outside of like television or that joke. So that's cute and fun.
Yeah, it's like something that media and like TV shows and movies just try to be like, this is real.
Yeah.
This happens in the real world. And you're like, no, it does not.
Nobody's ever said it. Okay, so the first scene, we are at Chubby. Sean is on a date with a girl named Dana. They are making out and he compliments how good she is at kissing, says he's done a lot of random sampling, and she says kissing research, and he says, don't mind if I do, and they kiss again. They both affirm that they really like each other, and he asks when their second date is. She says she's volunteering for a blood drive this week and they could work the sign up together. He declines, says it's not his thing. She offers maybe sometime we can go on a picnic, and he says, eat outside? Why? She's like, two people just sitting on a blanket, really listening to what the other has to say. He goes, I love picnics. And she's like, do you? He says, no, sorry. How about we get back to what we do best? And he starts to lean in again, and she pulls away a little and says, you sure put a lot of emphasis on kissing. And he affirms, I just really like it. And she is now visibly put off and says, yeah, that's what I've heard. Look, Sean, I don't think a second date is such a good idea, but thanks for tonight. And she more or less flees the booth they are in, and he calls after her, you're welcome, and then sits there kind of stunned and says to himself, what just happened here? And that is the end of the scene.
Oh, first of all, imagine just making out across the table like that, because they're not sitting on the same side like other episodes. They're literally reaching over the table, and kissing. In what world? Yeah, I don't know. I love that this is kind of a little reality check of sorts for Sean, because in the past episodes, he's even just been like, what do you mean you don't kiss? And then it's like, hey, people want more than that sometimes. If you just want that, that's fine. But, you know. No, it's not what everybody wants. And this is a nice, it's going to be a nice Sean episode, folks.
Yeah, this is a Sean episode. You know how I love me a Sean episode.
I was wondering why you said that this was one of your favorites as well, or you would just enjoy this episode, whichever thing you'd said. But I was like, oh, as soon as it started, I'm like, it's Sean's episode.
It's a Sean one. We get to learn about Sean. We get to see some Sean development. It's great. Makes me very happy. So the next scene, we are at school. Corey runs down the stairs to tell Sean he's upset because he heard from Janitor Bud. I guess he's the janitor again slash still, that Sean went out on a date with Dana. He tells Sean that she is a very nice girl and that could ruin his reputation. He and Bud were both shocked, and Sean says, wow, and Bud's seen dead bodies. Corey asks how the date was, and Sean is like cagey about it. I'm not the type of guy who talks about the girls he goes out with. Corey's like, yeah, you are. If it weren't for your stories and the little pictures you draw me, I wouldn't know nothing. Sean's like, I don't really want to talk about Dana, and don't ask me to draw her. Corey's surprised. You must really like this girl. Sean says, I like all girls, and normally, they like me. Dana then walks up and greets Corey and asks Sean if they can talk in private. Sean gets a bit of confidence back, says she probably wants to finish what we started last night. If I'm late for class, fall asleep without me. We cut over to Eric, catching up with Turner and Williams. He wants to talk to Williams about his journalism paper. Williams says, oh, right, another episode of Eric Matthews Excuse Theater. And then he and Turner both come up with outrageous excuses for why his paper either is missing or is the way it is. It's like kind of unclear. Because Eric then says, like, I know I deserved what I got, but I'm trying to turn things around so I can get into college. And Williams says, study. And Eric's like, come on, I'm being serious. Turner asks about the internship at Eli's old station, and Eric starts to get excited and asks Williams to sign him up. Williams is like, whoa, there's only one spot. It's going to be a lot of competition. A, students. Eric's like, yeah, and they're all going to cancel each other out of a lock. He thanks them both and runs away excited. Williams is annoyed, and Turner's like, come on, it doesn't hurt to let him take a shot. Williams says, I know these people. They're going to scrutinize grades, SAT scores. Turner cuts him off and says, oh, come on. Are you kidding me? It's television. Williams thinks about this and says, he's a lock, and they walk away. Cut back over to Corey, who walks up to Sean, sitting alone now on the bench. Sean says he's got a problem with the Dana situation. She wants a second date, but with another guy. Corey's like, it's probably some pumped up pretty boy jock. Sean says, it's you. And Corey goes, huh, I was right. They both just like think about this for a second. And then he says, no, no, I can't. Sean, you asked her out first. And Sean's like, no, this could be good for you. She's great, funny, sexy penmanship. So listen, feel free, go for it. And Corey asks if he's sure, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm sure I'm not going to be alone for long. Just then, two leather-clad, short-skirted girls walk by, and he calls out to them. They wave at him, and he says to Corey, these are the girls I should be going out with anyway. He walks away with his arms around them, and Corey's contemplative face is what we end this scene on.
The line that got me, just even at the beginning of the scene, when Corey says, what was it like going out with a nice girl? Because as if Sean has also never, one, dated anybody that's nice, but two, is just like, yeah, I don't know, it's a date and we're just having fun as well. But you can tell that Sean has more of a crush than he's also letting on at the beginning of this episode. The faces that Williams and Turner make when they come out of the classroom, I don't know if you've looked at that, they're freaking hilarious because they literally are what I would put with the expression of like the heh 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 heh.
Yeah, they like come out mid-conversation or something.
But they're just laughing to each other, and yeah, it's very good. It was, in my opinion, a wild interaction that Eric and the teachers were having when they were just kind of making all of the excuses that Eric would make back to him. And it's fun, but also I was like, would that ever happen? What? The implication that Eric has a pretty face and pretty faces are on TV and everything, like, yeah, TV's not a real job, whatever. It's fun. There's something that I did like about this scene from both Dana and Corey is obviously, like, Sean is the middle person here, and Sean's not 100% sure about what he's feeling, but just knows, like, something's weird. But what I do love is that she does kind of check in with sorts with Sean before doing anything, like just asking Corey. And Corey also makes sure it's fine with him. And I was like, that's a nice little touch because not everybody does that. And it's cool to be like, yeah, they actually do care about Sean and his feelings to an extent. And I also just want Sean to be with whoever he wants and not be stereotyped in a way. So this is a fun episode.
It's really interesting that Dana, the day after her date with Sean, is going to be like, what if instead I dated his best friend? Like, you're not wrong that it's nice that she like asked him if it was okay.
This is true.
It is kind of insane.
It's a very quick turnaround. This is thank you to 90s sitcoms and just trying to wrap up everything in a half hour. But yes, that timeline is crazy. Be like, you know what, actually I've seen Corey be nicer than you, so I'm gonna go with Corey instead.
Yeah, that's, it's really a wild choice, but you're absolutely right. It's It's to move the time along. And that's what we're going to do now in the next scene. Wow. I am queen of transitions today. So we go to the Matthews kitchen. Sean and Morgan are talking about the fridge light as Amy and Alan come down and tell her it's time for bed. She says, I can't. I'm babysitting Sean. Alan says, Morgan, you're the only one in this house with their own room. Why don't you ever use it? She says, because life is short. Alan replies, so are you, and kisses her on the forehead and finishes, go to bed. She runs upstairs, and Alan tells Sean that Corey, who's actually related to them, left after dinner, so they wouldn't be offended if he did the same. Sean's like, thanks, I'm fine. I've waited 3 hours. What's a few more minutes? I'm sure he's going to want to talk about his date, buddy to buddy. Amy says, okay, then we'll just go to sleep, buddy to buddy, and grabs Alan's hand. As they head upstairs, Alan says, why don't we just adopt him? Get the tax deduction. Just after, Corey comes in and says hello. Sean goes, you come waltzing in after 9 and all I get is hello? And Corey's like, hello, sailor? Sean says, better. And Corey asks why he's there. He says, oh, sure, make me out to be the bad guy. Corey's like, look, Sean, just because my mom served us what may have been the driest turkey ever doesn't mean you have to get mad at me. Sean's like, it's not about the turkey, which I'm still chewing, by the way. How was your date with Data? And Corey says, it was a date. If you want to know if I kissed her, the answer is no. Sean's like, do you like her? Corey says, yeah, she's fine. Sean keeps pressing. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being Topanga on your first date and 1 being the lunch later thong, how much do you like her? Corey thinks and says, 7. Sean's like, okay, now on a scale of 1 to 10. And Corey cuts him off. He's like, wait a minute. I've never seen you act like this. Are you fluey? Sean says, I've got a little tickle, but I don't think that's it. Corey smiles and says, I think you're coming down with a bad case of Dana. And Sean's like, I don't know, Core. All I know is that all through the dry turkey, knowing you were going out with Dana, I kept just wanting to take the carving knife and stab you in the head. Corey thinks about this and Sean continues, no offense. Corey's like, it's okay. I'm still here. Sean asks, so it's okay if I ask her out? Corey replies, I'll stab you in the head if you don't. And Sean says, you're good people. And that's the end of the scene.
I like this.
Best friends.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet. First of all, just love this new Morgan being back. I know that she's going to be back for a while, but it's always just fun now to be like, hey, new Morgan. The fact that Alan is or she says, like, life is short. He's like, so are you. It was just a cute little interaction. And I did love the adopt line as well. Yeah. And I love that they're saying it with Sean also in earshot of that, which is fun. The part with Sean and Corey chatting, I did love because, you know, they are just chatting and trying to figure it out. But what I love in all of the episodes previously, Sean is always made out to be this ladies man. And like, he's the one that has like, understands, quote unquote, relationship advice and everything for Corey whenever he's trying to figure it out and like, whatever. And it's just fun to see it fully flipped and just be like, I'm going to help you out. Or just like, hey, you have feelings and this is, you should know that you have feelings and I'm going to help you also identify that because you just look confused. You've been waiting here for 3 hours, like just waiting to hear how it went. And so it's just nice because Sean's never really had, an example of what to do or kind of know like how to be with women in this sense and not in the way that he's always been in the past. And it's nice.
Yeah. So true, bestie. So the next scene, we are back at school. Quick little tidbit here. Eric catches up with a kid named Arthur who is going up for the news internship as well. Arthur scoffs at the notion that they're in competition, lists his many qualifications and says he could walk in without pants and get the job. He walks away and Eric calls after him, I've seen you in gym, Arthur. Wear pants. He walks away and Eric calls after him, I've seen you in gym, Arthur. Wear pants. Eric then walks away kind of discouraged, and we cut over to Sean walking up excitedly to Dana's volunteer table. He drops a paper bag on the table and tells her he's donating a bunch of blood from his uncle, who's a butcher, and gives all the time. He didn't even know I took it. I put some pork chops in there for you, too. She's like, that's great. Gives me a head start on the pork chop drive. He sits down on the bench next to the table and says, it's great being here, talking, isn't it? I swear I could be happy talking to you all day. She asks, well, what will we talk about? He hesitates, then redirects. So how was your date with Corey? She says, oh, we had the best time. He's so sweet. He's like, really? That's cool. Corey told me he had a good time too. She beams at him and he asks why she didn't kiss Corey. And she's like, well, you know, it was a first date. Why rush things? He says, but you kissed me on the first date. And she says, yeah, but it's different with you. He asks how he and Corey are different. And she says, honestly, Corey's the type of guy who could turn into a boyfriend. And you're real cute and everything, Sean. But face it, with your reputation, you're not boyfriend material. And that is the end of the scene.
That's gotta suck to hear.
Yeah, it's pretty rude, but also, I don't know, I kind of appreciate her honesty.
Which, yeah, he definitely has done some things in the past that are not you know, he's just been kissing and getting with people, and that's kind of been his whole MO. And so it's like, yeah, it's kind of catching up to you in a way where it's, hey, if you would like a relationship, it's actually cool when you are caring about the other person and do other things. And whatever. Not that they have to jump into a relationship, but at least just kind of trying to understand what's different about this and how we could do anything differently. But I do think it's funny. It's about the same kid that was shocked that Corey didn't immediately kiss the gal two episodes ago.
So, true.
Like, hey, look at that, Sean, in a different way. You're learning.
Sometimes kissing isn't everything.
Yeah. Also did knowing that timeline of it being like 2 days now at this point since they did their first date, and whenever he was asking how it was and she was just saying like, oh, we had a really nice time. Like the way that she says it is very emphasizing the fact that Corey was different than Sean. And
yeah, Corey
was
kind of
strange.
Date.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Dana's such a fascinating character in this because she has some feelings for Sean, right? We like figure that out. Otherwise, she wouldn't have gone on a date with him. If she didn't like him literally at all, it wouldn't be a question.
Yeah.
So obviously she has some feelings for him. But to then the next day go on a date with his best friend, she asked, which is like, okay, thank you for asking, I guess. But also the next, literally, it's been, yeah, you're right. It's been at this point 3 full days, right? Because it was the date, then the next day, then they went on a date, and now it's the next day after that. So it's been 3 days. It's very confusing. I just don't really, I don't know. She's not like a bad person, right? Like, it's very clear she is a nice girl, which is a whole other argument thing. But like, it is very fascinating the way she's choosing to view these two people and how she's interacting with both of them in this short span of time. Fascinating.
Yeah. For some reason in the past, even couple episodes, but just over the seasons too, they're always trying to tell you that like, if you are a certain way, it's like you're not like the like quote unquote nice person. And then they'll be like,
oh
yeah, but remember like Frankie's nice. Hey, remember like this TK is nice. Like they keep doing all these things where it's just like, hey, we've all had, you know, difficult times growing up, and that doesn't constitute like you being a nice person or not.
Yeah. There's like both a clear and unclear morality, right? Like they are making the point of like some of these bad people are actually complex individuals, and this is the reason that they act the way they act. But also, Dana's a nice girl and Sean has a reputation. And it's like,
pick one.
What are we doing? What are we learning right now?
Hey, writers, what is the lesson?
I need you to pick a path is what I need from you. I need you to tell me what's going on. Okay, so the next scene, we're in the cafeteria. Corey and Sean are talking about Dana and quote-unquote boyfriend material. Corey's surprised Sean liked her so much because she seems like the type of girl that would end up with him. And Sean's like, what are you saying? I can't end up with nice girls? And Corey's like, no, calm down. I would love to go out with the type of girls you go out with, but I can't because I'm stuck being the nice guy. And all those girls want from me is directions to you. Sean asks what he means by those girls, and he says, sexy, hot, flashy, the kind of girls I've never gone out with in my life. Just then, Topanga walks up, here's the end of this, and Corey adds, except one time. And he looks up at her and says, hello, flashy. Topanga says, it's okay, I'm happy to be thought of as a nice girl. Sean's like, yeah, nice girl, have a seat. Topanga sits and goes, if this is about Dana, I don't have all the information. I've only been to the bathroom 3 times this morning. It's so funny. Corey asks, as the hottest and perhaps flashiest of the nice girl group, would you ever consider going out with Sean? She says, well, he'd have to ask me, and looks at him, and he says, Topanga, would you ever consider going out with me? She says, no. And he's like, why not? She says, you want the truth? And he confirms. She says, you couldn't handle the truth. He says he can, and Corey agrees and says to tell him, and she's like, and you'll take responsibility for how he feels about it. Corey agrees, and Topanga steals herself and gives what is honestly a phenomenal speech.
Yep.
I love this speech so much. She says, you don't understand women. You don't know what we are, you don't know how we feel, and you don't know what we think. You see us as dating objects, and the faster we are, the more you want us. And until you can grow up and see beyond that, no matter how many girls you go out with, you will always be lonely. And they all just kind of, like, sit there in silence for a second. Sean is extremely stunned, and then finally to Corey says, "You let her say that to me?" And Corey whispers, "She's lying." Topanga continues, "Look at yourself. You go from girl to girl, and that makes anyone who'd even consider a relationship with you afraid." She asks, "Afraid of what?" And she's like, "Of getting hurt. Every girl thinks she'll eventually get bored and move on." Sean says, "Wow, they know." And that's the end of the scene.
I mean, really, though, yeah, as soon as Topanga walked in to the cafeteria, I was like, oh, cool, this will be a nice, there's going to be something here. It's like whenever Feeny comes on screen, I'm like, there's going to be something good here. Okay. And of course there was. And the entire time I was like, damn, Topanga, give it to him. But especially with the stinger right at the end, because even the audience was like, oh.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a truth behind it, because if that's like all that you care about, like not everybody is the same way. And you know, they like sometimes people actually want relationships and some people don't, and that's also fine. And some people want to do things and don't want to do things, but it's like you can't just expect to be doing exactly what you're doing and, you know, get a different result, I guess. And mm-hmm. that's kind of what Sean is like, what do you mean? And you know, we are talking about the nice versus, you know, sexy, flashy women, which is also just a weird that's the opposite of being nice.
Yeah, the opposite of being nice is sexy, apparently.
If you're nice, you can never be sexy, is what the show is telling me. And that's sad. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was good for him to also just say that, because Corey and Topanga, even though that they are not dating at this point anymore, it's like that was a very serious relationship that the two of them had, as serious as you can be for their age. And you like he saw Corey and Topanga going through all of their emotions and what they did together, and I don't know, it's nice for her to kind of be that voice of reason also, because Corey's not going to be the one to like fully tell him that from this episode, but it's cool.
And also, I don't even think that he really looks at it from that perspective, right? Like Topanga has the unique experience between the three of them of being a girl. And so she understands that perspective of like, this person is not capable of holding a relationship. Like he does not feel safe in a way that makes me want to invest feelings in him. And so, and he, you know, he says, wow, they know. So like he is also a little bit aware of it at the end, but he is kind of shocked at the, I guess, bluntness of what Topanga's saying. Like, it makes sense to him that girls think he'll get bored and move on, because he does, and he knows that. But the fact that in this moment, what he wants more than like anything else is for this girl to not like reject him, because he actually feels like he cares about her. Right. It's hard for him to be like, what do I do with this? Like, what do I have? normally girls are easy. And I feel like I'm really curious about, if this girl were like every other girl he's interacted with, would he still want to chase her?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of also like it whenever he does have the realization of like, oh, God, like, or whatever, like they know. It's like, yeah, they're not just, you know, objects that you can be with and kiss. And it's like, hey, they're actually smart individuals as well that are aware of like how you treat everybody. And also that gets around too.
Yeah. Oh my God, girls talk.
Yeah, they talk about reputations in this for sure, but it's like not fully like stereotyping, but it's like, yeah, if you talk and girls talk to each other, and once that starts getting around, it's like, hey, maybe you're not gonna want to be with this person because they did this thing to me and you know, XYZ. And I don't think he's ever really realized that. And so that's fun.
And it's not particularly, it's not necessarily wrong, right? To be a person who is just like, I just want to make out and have fun. Like, especially at their age, like that's not inherently bad. What becomes a problem is like, if you are not taking other people's feelings into consideration when you're doing that and you're not communicating, you know, those feelings. And so that everybody who is involved in the situation is aware of what's going on, because then you're just hurting people.
Right.
But yeah, you know, clearly,
clearly Sean is not about the communication type, because whenever they were trying to talk at the beginning, he literally just kept saying like, and kissing
out. Yeah.
And kissing again. And it was like, no, there's more to this. So
yeah.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah, man. They're interesting. I don't know.
again, it's hard because I'm looking at this from a 26-year-old perspective, and I'm like, I would do this differently.
From the perspective of an adult, I feel like he's just not communicating. He's not a bad person. He just doesn't know how to talk.
I don't understand why he doesn't understand.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's got some growing up to do or something.
Maybe he's in high school.
Weird. Imagine being in high school. It couldn't be me. Anyway.
I never want to think about me in high school ever again.
I know. Oh, man. Okay, so the next scene, we are at the news station. Arthur walks out from his interview, having thoroughly impressed the station director. While they chat, Eric tries to write out his experience and then, frustrated, crumples up the page. Arthur finishes up. They greet each other and he leaves. The director starts to walk back into her office before Eric stops her and says he's also there for the interview and starts to shake her hand. She laughs and says, "You mean there really is an Eric Matthews? So that resume Eli sent over wasn't a jit." And then stops when she sees Eric's face, says, "Come on in anyway." And that is the end of the scene.
Why on earth would you say that in front of him, ma'am? He literally just told you, "I'm Eric." And she's like, "Oh, you're real?
You're so not bizarre. A joke?"
And like keeps going on about it. Wild. Not even like, "Oh, okay." And just kind of accepting it is like, "I'm going to tell you that I thought that you were not a real person and this was actually a mistake."
Not only. Yeah.
But he also looks extremely spiffy. So go, Eric.
He is. He's wearing a full suit. It's adorable. He's really. Oh, man. I love. Oh, my God. I love this Eric stuff. This is like really great. I'm excited. Okay. But before we get to that, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more of The Heart is a Lonely Hunter right after this.
Hello, everybody. It's Sid. Welcome to The Midroll, the spot where we do announcements, Patreon shoutouts, featured ads, and anything else we want to talk about. First things first, we ended up changing our Patreon system. We still have a Patreon, don't you worry. It is patreon.com/thelostyearspod. What we've done is simply made it a pay $2 if you would like early access to episodes, as well as a Patreon shoutout here in The Midroll type of situation. All other bonus content, including behind-the-scenes content, bonus episodes, old Twitch VODs, anything else we can come up with, is all going to live on the Patreon page, but it's viewable to anyone who goes there. So once again, patreon.com/thelostyearspod. And special shout-out to Patreon supporter Adam Mansell. We appreciate the heck out of you. Thank you so much for being a supporter of us and our show. The second announcement here is about the Snips Showcase. The heck is the Snip Showcase, you may be asking yourself? Well, it's the Scavengers Network Indie Podcast Showcase. Tay and I, the Lost Years, are a part of the Scavengers Network, and they're having this showcase that's a weekend of podcast live shows that celebrate the independent podcasting community. Officially have dates for it, which is why it's being plugged now. It's September 16th and September 17th. And for more information on it, you can go to www.snipsshowcase.com. All right, if you have water nearby, drink it. If you don't, get some. If you'd like a little snack, go for it. Go treat yourself. You deserve it. Thanks for joining us. Let's get back to the episode.
Greetings, Scavengers Network listener. Do not adjust your podcast adjusting apparatus. This message is meant for consumer data. Something adjective is coming to the network very timestamp needed. On February 17th, 2022, get ready to join. As Sid, Colin, Tay, and Dan, as they take you through the hit 1996 film, Space Jam, in the network's newest podcast. It jams for thee. End transmission. Peace out, cool dudes.
And we're back. So we go to Feeny's class. Feeny is talking about how certain presidents might have been considered lesser presidents if they had been in power during current times, and John asks if he considers JFK a great president. Feeny says his time in office was short, but he accomplished a great deal. And Sean continues, "And now, the fact that he was a babe magnet didn't make him any less great, did it?" Dana pipes up and says, "In a lot of people's eyes, it did, Sean. Less of a husband, less of a leader." The girls in class agree, and Feeny, amused, says, "Well, I think we've heard from the women. What do you think, Mr. Hunter?" Sean says, "All I know is it's not easy for a guy to change who he is." The boys in class agree with him, and Feeny says, whoa, steady. Dana says, "You can't change if you don't try." And Sean replies, quieter now, "I can't try unless you give me a chance." Feeny says, "Mr. Hunter, you have spurred a debate." And Sean goes, "Yeah, fine. When's attention?" And he says, no, it's a good thing. I like to hear your opinion." kids. In fact, I'd like to hear everyone's in an essay due tomorrow. The class groans, the bell rings. Sean hesitates a little, clearly hoping to talk to Dana, but she gathers up her things and leaves the classroom without even looking at him. His dejected face is how we end the scene.
This scene, the line that Sean had about "you can't try unless you give me a chance" made me very sad, which is the intent. So good job, writers.
Mission accomplished.
At the beginning of this, I do have the two notes besides that I have in this whole scene. The fact that Feeney, when he's just talking, going through the president, said Roosevelt. I don't know why that just it made me write that down. But I was like, is that, do people say it like that? Which is nothing, but it's funny to me. And I did love all of the girls agreeing whenever Dana made her point, and they were all like, about JFK. Because I was like, you don't know.
it was really funny. Insane. I know it's insane. It's like truly insane. Less of a husband, less of a leader. Like, I guess. I don't know why those two things are related and why specifically for men it's like, it, like, honestly, it feels like an argument somebody would lob at a woman, like, oh, she's a bad wife, so why should she be? Like, I don't know. It's just like a weird argument in general. Like, it made me feel weird and I didn't like it when she said it.
Yeah, this, well, and then from the guy's perspective too, about like changing, like it's hard. And then all the guys were like, yeah. I was like, why are these two points the ones that you're like dying on?
And also the fact that, like, I feel like the argument for them was like, well, I can't change. I am the way that I am. Why would I change? Like, yeah, I don't just,
that's two really weird things.
Yeah, it was weird. It was so weird. And then Feeney was like, a debate. I love it. An essay. What's the argument?
Do tomorrow.
Feeney, do you even know? What are we arguing right now?
Just an opportunity for him to give an essay to the crowd. It's great. And I also love, like, clearly Dana and Sean are targeting this at each other, right? Like, we know that. The class doesn't.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah. That's a good
Hell
point.
Yeah.
I like that. I agree. And it just happens to be split by gender.
I know. I was going to say, where's the one guy that whenever Dana was making the point about bad husband, bad leader, was like, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm with the women here.
Oh, man. That'd be awesome. I wish they had done that. That would be great. That person is Minkus.
Rip.
Rip indeed. So the next scene, we are back at the news station. Eric walks out of the office, sweaty, patting his forehead with like a handkerchief, and says, "Miss Cannon, your office is mighty, mighty hot." And she replies, "It was mighty, mighty nice to meet you." He asks, "I'm not going to get this internship, am I?" And she goes, "Well, everyone has a chance." And he, kind of excited, is like, "Really?" She cracks and says, "Oh, don't do this to me," and goes back into her office. He walks in front of an off camera that he sees there and says, "This just in, Eric Matthews is a huge loser." A man, wiping some crumbs off a nearby table, says, "Why is he a loser?" Eric starts and says, "Oh, sorry, I didn't know anybody was in here. I'll get out of your way and let you clean." The man walks over to Eric with like a handful of crumbs and says, "I got plenty of time to clean." Eric holds a trash can up for the man to dump those crumbs into, and the man seems kind of pleasantly surprised. He asks Eric if he is here for the internship, and Eric confirms and says he blew it. The man asks how he knows that, and he says, "Because I wasn't myself. Man, I really wanted this job." The man says, "Why?" And Eric replies, "What could be more exciting than working in TV? I mean, all those straight A guys want is something to put on the resume, you know? They don't get it here, they'll get it someplace else. But this is everything to me. Miss Canada doesn't know this, but I do that job so much better than any of them because I need it more." And the whole time he's talking, he's like cleaning up some scattered trash and stacking some papers. The man asks, "Did you tell her that?" And Eric says, "No, I was too busy choking. I just choked in front of the most important person at the station." The man says, "No, you didn't." Eric's like, "Yeah, I did. I was sweating so much in there, my shoes started to squish." The man laughs and says, "No, I meant she's not the most important person at the station. I am." Eric laughs and says, "Hey, pal, I know coffee's really important and everything." And the man puts his hand out and says, "Pat Darby, station manager." Eric says, "Where?" And Pat says, "Right here, shaking the hand of our new intern. See you Monday. Be yourself or I'll fire you." Eric thanks him excitedly and says, "I'll be here." And he starts to leave, then turns back around and says, "One quick thing, real quick. Before I go home and tell my parents, do you have like a business card and a photo ID?" Pat smiles again, and that is the end of the scene.
He looks so excited. I'm so happy for him.
It's really great.
I just love it, too, because my favorite thing about this little moment is that interviews are actually extremely hard, and you know, you could be an amazing candidate for the job, but, like, you could just fuck up the interview, and it's not always in your favor, but I did love this because he was literally just himself, and he has always wanted to be on TV with the weatherman idea very earlier on, and, you know, maybe for vanity reasons, but it's like he actually cares about this, and goes back to Feeny having potential in him and actually just needing something and, you know, wanting to do something so badly, and it worked out in his favor, and I just love it. Yeah. Yay!
It's really lovely. So, like, the perspective of this is, like, Eric thinks this man is a janitor, so he's being really honest about, like, his feelings and everything. But he's also being genuinely kind to this man by helping him out when he's, like, cleaning up stuff. And so, in that very brief conversation, that man got a glimpse of, like, this is a thoughtful kid, a kind kid, an honest kid who just kind of, like, got nervous. And in this moment, he's being himself, and, like, I see potential in that, and I'm going to do something about it. And I just think that's wonderful.
Yeah. You know, I did love, because, you know, he's just this man that they never introduce him at the beginning, and I was just talking again. It's like, clearly there's something important here. But I mean, I did love, to Eric's point too, when he's saying, like, some of these people just kind of have it as, like, wanting another thing on their resume, or just like, because that's a very true thing too. Like, people will just take up opportunities whenever they can, just to be like, yeah, does this look good? Does this look good? Because that's how high school teaches us what life is, and that's not great. but yeah, it's really cool, because he does just have a very nice open conversation and is being himself and hospitable. When he could have just left, like, he didn't need to be there at all. And that's very nice. And I did love that the man was just cleaning up, knowing, like, he's the actual station manager.
Yeah, and he's cleaning stuff. Like, that's so great. I love that. I also
like an
love
actual
that.
Cool boss.
Genuinely cool dude.
That's nice.
And we get more of this. This doesn't just, like, happen.
Perfect.
It's great. It's all next episode is Eric at the station, which is really fun. So the next scene, we are at Turner's. Corey is telling Sean not to let what Topanga said bother him. If I listen to everything Topanga told me, and Sean finishes, you guys would still be together. Corey thinks and says, what are you listening to me for? That's not why they broke up. It's very weird to say that. I don't understand.
Also, knowing that Sean was also like, hey, it's fine that you guys are not together, like, just an episode or two ago,
right?
He's like trying to help Corey out. It's very funny to be like, but you're
What's
not even
argument?
Together.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want them to be.
Corey walks over to Turner at the counter and says, see what you can do with this. Turner has to be filled in, and Corey says, Dana Pruitt. Turner replies, nice girl. Corey finishes, Sean Hunter. Turner goes, oh. Corey says, all right, now you're up to speed. My work here is done. I'm going back out into the blizzard with one mitten. Godspeed to me. He leaves, and Turner asks Sean if he's okay. Sean says, I really like Dana, John, and I'm pretty sure that she likes me, but she's afraid to get involved with me. Turner goes, ah, the Hunter reputation, huh? And Sean says, and I used to be so proud of it. Turner's like, wow, Sean, the only thing you've ever worked hard on, and it blows up in your face. Corey returns and says he lost his other mitten. Don't mind me, I'll just look. The mitten is sticking out of his jacket this whole time, just so everybody knows how this scene is going. Sean continues, what was I even thinking asking out a girl like Dana? Turner says, because you liked her, and obviously she meant something to you. And Sean says, what's the difference? I mean, I know where I belong, back with all those fast, flashy girls. Turner says, you know, Sean, the people you care about most in this world are not very fast and flashy, referencing Corey, who is still looking for his mitten, but found his scarf from last year under a sofa cushion. Turner continues, Corey is your best relationship. You guys listen to each other and you really trust each other. Sean asks, that's what girls are looking for? And Turner says, oh yeah, especially the nice ones. Sean says, that's funny, because Dana's the only girl I've ever really listened to. Turner asks, does she know that? And Sean says, I could tell her. And Turner says, do better. Show her. Corey then finds his mitten and leaves. He says some stuff. He's like, Velcro. You gotta love Velcro, because it was, like, sticking to his jacket, and he leaves, and they're all just, like, watching him go and laughing, and that's the end of the scene.
I like the scene.
Yeah, it's cute.
First of all, starts out with this hat that Sean is wearing at the beginning that I was like, wow, that is the 90s. but yeah, I love that Corey, you know, kind of passes it off to Turner as, like, listen, I could be trying to tell him, like,
he's like, I've done all I can.
But yeah, you take it from here. But my favorite thing is, like, clearly, I know that they probably, and maybe it's also because of Corey just not being the brightest in this moment, but, like, trying to find his gloves and everything. They've been around the whole time. Like, they're on him. And so my thought is that he's literally just trying to stay in the room to hear it, but didn't want to be like, and I'm gonna wait. So, because he's looking for so long. And I don't know, as evidenced in like the next scene, but I really feel like he just wanted a different perspective other than just like him trying to tell Sean his advice. And he also wanted to be in the know about it because it's, again, it's on him the entire time, sticking out of his frickin' jacket, and just keeps kind of making excuses about like, yeah, here's my scarf, here's this thing. Like,
that's a fun read.
I did love this tidbit and like advice that Turner actually gave him, because Turner's also somebody that does date women. And not fully committing, because that's been evidenced in every other episode where he's actually like fully dating people. It's like he's not fully committed, but he's been dating people. And it's like he does know what women want still. He's just trying to give this little bit to Sean. And I love that he does make the comparison of like, how do you treat your best friend? You're clearly doing something right here because you've had this friendship for a long time and or for most of your life. And it's like all you have to do is just what would you do then? Do it also with girls and who knows?
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. It's really fun, too, because obviously, as evidenced like several times over the course of their relationship in the season, like Sean trusts Turner's advice. And you know, Sean often calls himself like Turner's buddy. He's like, I'm John's little buddy, which I think is very cute. But to know that like Sean likes having this person, like he trusts this person to like lead him on the right path. And I love these moments we get of their relationship because it is the biggest one that Sean has in his life right now, with the exception of Corey. And to have this like person taking care of him who also like cares about his life and wants him to like make good decisions and be okay is definitely something that Sean's really not ever had before. And also, you know, it's just nice to see. It's just fun. I love it.
Yeah, because I mean, even in different episodes, like you see Amy and Alan trying to talk to Sean about something, and it's kind of it's he registers it, but it's also not like I'm gonna fully removed. Listen to you like Corey. And so it is nice that he does get to have his buddy. And yeah, I mean, even in other episodes when Turner's been with gals and is also dating, like Sean is very much in the know about that and like how he's also been with girls. And it's like, hey, yeah, no, I do believe you because I've also been seeing this from my perspective. And it's just nice.
Yeah,
I love the two of them. That was like it's best duo that they could have done.
I know, it's really lovely, and I just love it so much. I really hope we get to talk to Anthony Tyler Quinn at some point, because I would love to know from his perspective how he viewed this, like just like on set and like separate from, you know, how was their relationship, because they have such great chemistry and play off each other really well. So I would love to know. I hope we can talk to him. We have to figure that out. So the next scene, we are in Chubby's. Corey is playing pool and Dana walks up and greets him all flirty and asks why he's playing pool alone. He says, well, normally I'd be playing with my best friend, but he's off who knows where moping because some girl played yo-yo with his feelings. And Dana says, Corey, you know what his reputation is. And Corey's like, yeah, I know his reputation, but I also know the guy. All right, what's more important, the reputation or the guy? Look, you went out with me because you thought I was nice. That's my reputation. But now I think you know, deep down, Corey Matthews is dangerous, dark, and very edgy. We then hear over a loudspeaker, will the owner of the bright red hypoallergenic ski jacket with one mitten please claim it at the counter? And Corey says to Dana, oh, I gotta go, and runs to claim his jacket, and that is the end of the scene.
I love this because at first when I was watching it, I was like, Corey, you've known, you were part of the yo-yo of his feelings because you literally agreed to go out. But when I thought about it again, I was like, no, first of all, he didn't know that Dana didn't want to go out with Sean because of his reputation and like with women because of the boyfriend material thing. But he also didn't know at that time how Sean was actually feeling about it and about her. And what I love is that when he finally was you know, trying to figure it out. And like, he was there with Turner last night and just, you know, hearing everything and how they were talking too. This is where I'm like, no, he is now putting it together of like, hey, don't do that to my friend. And also knows that, you know, Sean and him are best friends and this is how he should be sticking up for Sean. And I love that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Obviously his relationship with Sean supersedes literally any relationship everybody that he could have with Dan. Yeah. Everybody. But also specific, like in this instance, like any relationship he has with Dana. So, you know, for him to more or less be like, I'm not dealing with you. You hurt my best friend. And so we are not okay. Like, I'm not doing that. We're not doing this. And I love the loyalty, man. They're so lovely.
Which is also fun because she was, you know, portrayed in this episode as being the quote unquote nice girl. However, they're defining that. And it's like, hey, no, like, I know that we have not had anything also more than like they didn't even kiss in their date and everything. And it's just like, yeah, no, this is not worth my time at the moment because you don't hurt my friend. And I love it. They're great.
It's really wonderful.
Sean and Corey endgame.
No, but literally. So we cut to the next scene. We are outside Chubby's. Dana is leaving and Sean is outside sitting on the ground in the snow with a picnic basket. She's surprised to see him and says, are you crazy? It's the middle of winter. He's like, once the numbness kicks in, you can't really feel anything, and offers her hot soup from a thermos. It falls out into the lid in a cylindrical frozen brick, and Dana kneels down and asks what he's doing, and he says, I remembered you said you like picnics, so I figured why wait till spring? Plus, did you know in winter picnic baskets are like 1,000,000% off? Surprise, she says, you mean you were actually listening to what I said? He stands and says, listen, Dana, you say I'm not boyfriend material, and maybe I'm not, but why don't you give me a chance to try? She stands and says, because I'm afraid of you, okay? Maybe you can't understand that, but I'm afraid of you. And he's like, no, I can understand that. I'm afraid of you. And it's not even like I love you or anything. I just like you and want to be with you. I've never felt this way about a girl before, and I don't know. It scares me. She says, let's get you inside. And he says, no, I want to be out here with you. And I want a second date. And she says, I want to see you again too. And he's like, really? Do you mean that? She confirms and says, do you want to seal it with a kiss? And he steps back a little and the swelling music starts. And he says, what's our rush? And she smiles at him and they take each other's hand and they head back into Chubby's. And that's the end of the episode proper.
I love everything about this whole last scene so much. As soon as it cut to him and showing Sean actually like on the ground with the picnic, I was like starting to tear up. Like, this is how much this oddly affected me. I loved it. Because he is trying in this moment, which is not something that she or pretty much anyone else had thought that he was capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do love about this and in their conversation is like, she's not afraid of him so much of her being afraid of his reputation and getting hurt. And also likewise with him, like, this is all new to him. And so he's also figuring this out. And I just loved it. Like, I love that little brief glimpse of honesty and communication that they had in this moment of how they're feeling. It's great. but the fact that she was even the one that kind of initiated the kiss and then or the idea of the kiss and him saying, what's our rush, was my favorite thing. And them just grabbing hands. I was like, wait, this is wonderful, because I know also having this reputation of Sean literally being, you know, just with everybody, that's how they've portrayed him this entire time. So womanizer. I have that thought of him too. And in a fun, I'm watching TV way and not feelings
I'm emotionally
way.
Personally invested.
But I loved it. It was such a good scene. And even though, you know, everything, the yo-yo of feelings that they're having with Dana and how my other thoughts on this, I just love that he's actually making an effort and did listen to her and did try and tried to show her that, you know, he's capable of being a person that you could actually date.
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Because if we look at this big picture, they are 14, 15-ish. The odds that they actually end up together are slim to none, right?
Correct.
So obviously there's a level of like, I'm scared of getting hurt. But in any relationship you go into, even as adults, like, there's no guarantee that it's going to work out. Even if you go like the whole nine and get married and everything, like, maybe I'm very nihilistic, but like, there's no guarantee, right? There's never a guarantee that it works out. And even if it does work out and it lasts forever, one of you is going to die before the other one, probably. So like, everybody gets hurt at the end of a relationship. It just happens. Well, not necessarily. Sometimes relationships can end amicably, but, you know, that's besides the point. I got off on such a tangent here. Now,
yeah, tell me how you really feel.
Listen, I'm single, and that explains everything, okay? So, anyway, no, but the fact that they are both going into this as honestly as they can in this moment, right? Just being very earnestly like, I am afraid of this. And it's not even like I love you. I just like you. And Dana to be, you know, I'm afraid of you and I don't want to get hurt. But they're choosing to embark on this like with that honesty. I just feel like it's so pure and so lovely. And, you know, I do know how this ends. And shrug emoji. No spoilers.
Yeah, I do love it too, because one of the things that Sean says in the scene at Turner's house is the fact that Corey and Topanga, you know, they're not even together. And right. It is, you're right, things just may not even work, even when seemingly great. And, you know, that's just how it is. And why not just give it a shot anyway? And so it's...
Yeah, it's always, a thing is always, well, not always, but like, generally speaking, something like this, it's worth trying, you know?
If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, and that's okay.
Yeah, maybe you get hurt. I think in general, you know, things are worth trying. It's like you said, it's like it may not work out, but it could still be good while you're in it, and you won't know until you try.
Yeah.
All right, well... We move on to the end credits. We are in the Matthews kitchen. Morgan is helping Eric fill coffee cups. He tells her that decaf is in the chipped cups. And she says, uh-oh, I put decaf in this one. He picks up the cup, hits it with a spoon to chip it, and they continue on. The parents come downstairs thanking Eric for making them coffee. And Eric's like, it's not for you. It's for my internship. Part of my job description is to get the crew coffee. Alan's like, I don't think that means you're supposed to bring it from home. And Eric goes, who says anything about bringing it? We see a bunch of the crew knocking at the back door, and they all swarm in as Eric explains, like, all the different coffee and the pastries that they have, and the parents kind of like swarm to grab things as everybody else swarms in, and that's the end of the episode in full. It's very cute.
This is really funny to me, because I even thought, how on earth are you gonna get all these cups there? Like, that's that's never what that means. And then they all did show up, and I was like, oh, it is what it means. Which was the best.
They came to his home.
And they didn't even look like annoyed about being at his home. Like, they were just really excited to be at the home.
Yeah, they were like, wow, look at all this coffee.
He invited us in.
Yeah. It was very silly. Oh, I'm so excited for the next episode. I'm so excited. I can't wait. Oh.
Hooray.
I always love episodes. It's so funny. I'm like, I love episodes that aren't about Corey.
It's nice to just give Corey him a break.
Like, truthfully, Corey is the smallest part of next week's episode, and it's amazing, honestly. It's so funny. But that's for next week. So what was the lesson, Sid?
We've said so many things. I think giving people a chance and just giving things a shot, I think, is the biggest lesson here. I mean, I feel like every single week I could be like, communicate.
Yeah, truly, the lesson is always communication.
It's always going to be. That's always the underlying message,
yeah,
okay?
Talk to each other. Be honest about your feelings.
Just share what you're feeling. That's going to get you out of so many situations.
Truthfully.
But yeah, I think this one is just giving people a chance. And, you know, you could very clearly or very easily say that don't judge a book by its cover. But... I don't know. I mean, even if, you know, you do judge the book by its cover, it's like you never know until you actually open it up.
Yeah.
What it's going to be.
I think even that, like, that's that part of the lesson, like, reputations are not everything. Like, reputations are not people.
Yeah.
Maybe think about it from that perspective. Like, you have a reputation of a nice girl, but you dated two best friends. How nice is that, really, Dana?
Literally back-to-back days. What's up with
it's
that?
It's pretty rude, actually.
I would never.
So, yeah. Could it be me? Or could it?
I'm an adult. I can do whatever the hell I want.
Do what I want? Question mark? Anyway.
Now we're confused.
Yeah. No, I don't know what the lesson is.
Cool.
Well, now we're at the end of the podcast. Hi.
Hello. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at The Lost Years Pod. We share when the episodes drop, we share fun memes, and we also ask what you're nostalgic for. And this week, I was curious about what amusement parks did you go to as a kid? And we got many responses, so thank you in advance. At Chex926 said, Idlewild Park in... Shush.
Sorry.
Idlewild Park in... I'm going to beef this. Ligonier, Pennsylvania. was my first, and we used to go every year. Kennywood Park in Pittsburgh is a perennial fave, and we go almost every year. I don't know what either of those things are. This is very fun whenever it's like regional amusement parks.
Yeah, I mean, what can you expect, really?
Everybody has their
own. Everyone's from everywhere.
But the fun thing is, if they do have coasters or anything, now I'm probably going to go look it up to see if they have some fun POV videos, because this is what I like to do in my spare time.
What if we went on a road trip across the country and rode roller coasters?
Nostalgia buds.
Yeah.
Nostalgia buds take on the world.
I said the country, but yeah, let's do the world.
Starting with amusement parks in very small cities.
Here's the thing. I just love roller coasters and I want to ride them. And nobody wants to ride them with me.
I do. We just don't. We're not with each other. So
no,
it makes
not.
It sad.
That's really sad.
Anyway, at Kels Calzones, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Says there is a small one called Bowcraft in central New Jersey that sadly shut down during COVID. They're putting up apartments there now. Gross. Back in the day, it was pretty great. And as I got older, I found it charming that they never updated anything.
They paved paradise and put up an apartment complex.
Aw.
That's not the saying, but
the next hit single. At Joe J.B. Schaefer said, damn near all of them. Six Flags, Disneyland, SeaWorld, Universal Studios, Knott's Berry Farm, Funland, dot, dot, dot.
Oh, man. Knott's Berry Farm, that's the one that's, like, jam-based, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to go there. I heard that place is dope. They have, like, a really cool roller coaster that the Try Guys went on that I really want to ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, another perspective video that I did watch, and it was also fun because it was the Try Guys, and I do love them. At O Accusatory said Six Flags Over Georgia was the coolest, immediately followed by the annual Alabama State Fair and its single terrifying, hastily constructed, quote-unquote, safe coaster, but the one that made me love amusement parks was Silver Dollar City.
Oh, I don't know what that is, but I love that.
I don't either, and there was someone else that also said Silver Dollar City.
Really?
So I feel like I gotta go there now.
Yeah, we gotta figure that one out.
At the Space Jamber says, cracks knuckles, Carowinds, Walt Disney World, Busch Gardens, Williamsburg, Water Country USA, Six Flags Over Georgia, King's Dominion, random weird ones in Myrtle Beach. I've been to even more as an adult, but I love amusement parks. And I respect the hell out of that. That whole
Do you remember when you were here and somebody, I don't know why we were talking about this, but somebody mentioned Water Country and we watched the trailer for it. Water Country, in it.
Wasn't it that? Why did we do that?
I don't know.
What prompted that? That's the best. I totally remember that because it was a weird trailer.
Yeah.
Or commercial.
I don't even know if that's the right tune, but like I'm pretty sure it's like something like that.
Why?
So yeah, I know of Water Country and I love that for you.
I also, reading this too, I love how many people have just, there are some where it's just like, yeah, this one was my, like the one that I went to. And I love when people have like, here's 8 or 9. And I'm like, yeah, I love the fact that your parents were like, hell yeah, let's go to all the amusement parks.
Let's go.
I wish we could have expanded more in my family, but we only went to some. So respect. At Biola Bitch said, LOL, Silver Dollar City, but also hometown has an annual fair that felt like an amusement park when I was young. And yeah, the fair always definitely felt like a full amusement park if you could not go to an actual amusement park. And they were terrifying. For sure. And they were great.
I love hasty fair rides. I think they're so scary and terrible, but also
fun they are, though.
They're so fun. Because there's like things that you can't reasonably make, right? Like they have licenses, they have to be quote unquote safe. But like if it's a ride that you can construct and tear down in a weekend, how safe can it be really?
I know. And then I do see those videos once in a while where it's like, this thing starts breaking when people are on it. I was like, what did you expect? Like, yeah.
They literally made it yesterday.
Like, why are you shocked? You signed up for that.
You put your life in your own hands.
Knowing me, though, if I were on it, I'd be like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, for sure.
But I will laugh at you from afar, being like, yeah. At Hannah Noel 7 said Six Flags Over Texas is superior.
Ooh. I'm trying to think if that's the one I've been to, because I've been to Six Flags in Texas. If that's the one that's close to Dallas, I have been to that one, and it's pretty solid.
Very, very cool. And then at T. Davis said, Opryland, RIP. That is where the mall currently is in Nashville, and there used to be an amusement park that was here in Nashville called Opryland.
Grand Ole Opry?
Yeah, about where all of that is, because the Grand Ole Opry used to be downtown, and then they moved it from the Ryman into their own new building. But Opry Mills, which is our huge mall, and the Grand Ole Opry and like the Opryland Hotel and Convention Center, like all that was new. It used to be an amusement park, and I freaking wish that I was still here whenever it was an amusement park, because like that would be fun. It's so close to my house.
Yeah.
Anyway.
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. Thank you for the submissions.
Yeah, thank you. I think my favorite amusement park, I mean, I can only count the ones that I've been to like several times that I have memories of, right? Because like I said, I've been to Over Texas, but I went once and I vaguely remember it. And we also went to Six Flags in St. Louis, I think, once when my dad lived in Springfield. And I also vaguely remember that because it was like one of the first times I ever rode roller coasters. I was scared out of my mind. I think they had like Mr. Freeze as the ride there. And it was really fun, but absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
But I went to Six Flags Gurney, like Great America, all the time as a kid. And we also went to Holiday World, which is in Santa Claus, Indiana. It used to be called Santa Claus Land, and then they changed it to Holiday World. I feel like I've talked about Holiday World on the podcast before. But I love that place. It's so fun. And yeah, it's also got like that's a very old amusement park. And so they do have a lot of like original stuff there. But they are also, they just built their first steel coaster like maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, damn.
And they only had wooden coasters for a really long time. But that steel coaster is my favorite coaster in existence. I love it. It's a wing coaster and it's a shoot off coaster. So it's, oh my God. And it's like through all this forest. And if you are at the front of it, it really does feel like flying. It's like so, so, so fun. So yeah, I love Holiday World and I love Great America. I haven't been to Great America since 2019, sadly, because of the pandemic. But I used to go every year for a long time. I went every year.
Yeah, flip side. My every year as a kid. Sometimes multiple times in a year was Cedar Point, and
I'm so jealous.
Forever. And it got to a point where one summer as a kid, kid is a loose term. I guess I was in like high school, but I did become a ride warrior, which is you have ridden every single roller coaster that's in the park.
Whoa. And wait, that is hard to do?
There's a lot of coasters.
Oh my God.
And I think it's hard because there are so many lines that also exist with coasters,
right?
And because there are so many and the park is so big, it's like, yeah, if you can make it to all of them, that's amazing. And wow, that was a fun thing that, like, I have a magnet still that's like Ride Warrior Crossing. Like, it's very, very aww, cheesy, but it's very fun. I love most all of the coasters that are there still, and I'm just waiting to go back because I haven't been there in years. But that was every single summer, like multiple times in the summer, and we were only 2.5 or 2 hours away from it, and so it was just a day trip for us, and it was really exciting. And then one summer we did get to go, it was in high school, my family did stay there for a night, and so we stayed at one of the hotels that gave you late access to the park, which happens after it shuts down. It's like the people that are staying in the resort can still go, and then you get early access to the park because you're there early, and it's the best.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. When I worked at my old restaurant company, they every year would give us a Six Flags season pass for Gurney, and then there was like the one day that we were there, they gave everybody wristbands for it, and after the park closed early at 8 o'clock, but then everybody else could stay until I think 10 or 11. And it was like you were through the line in seconds. Like you could just ride everything, because the only people that were there were people from our restaurant company, which is just so fun and cool. And so I did that like 2018, 2019, and would have 2020, but pandemic. And they just started doing it again this year for the first time since the pandemic started. So I didn't get to go. But I saw all of my work friends at Six Flags at the beginning of this month, like, hey, well, it'll be next month by the time this comes out. But the beginning of June, I saw them and I was like, oh, I'm so jealous. I hope you're having fun. I'm gonna cry. I don't think I could ever be a ride warrior, though, because I will not ride certain roller coasters.
Looking back, there are some that now I'm like, I will never do that again. specifically like the big towers where you just get dropped. I can never do those again. That was like a fun thing that I did as a kid.
And I will not do a giant drop.
No.
You could not pay me to do a giant drop.
Never again. I did it. It was fun when I was a kid and I checked it off because I was not aware of anything. and they just dropped me and that was fun. And then like there's a giant swing that I did and I'm like really afraid of heights at the moment. And I'm like, I couldn't even do that then because it goes 300 feet in the air and you're on a swing.
Good Lord.
And I was like, no, I'm good. I don't have to do that ever again. We got halfway up on that ride and I told my mom, I was like, are we going down yet? And I was in high school, so there's no way I could do that now.
I wouldn't say that I'm afraid of heights necessarily, but my thing is like, if I'm doing anything like that, I'd have to feel safe. I have to feel like I'm not going to die, because if I feel like I could at any point die, then I am afraid. And I also don't like that zero G like stomach in your throat feeling. I hate that.
It
feels terrible and I don't want it and I never want it. And specifically wooden roller coasters, that is the thrill of them, is stomach in your throat, like zero G's. And I hate that. So I don't ride wooden roller coasters because I don't feel safe. I feel like I'm going to die. Which is sad because I know there's like some wooden steel combos that like I would absolutely ride if it had an overhead bar, but it doesn't. So I'm not going upside down with a lap bar. That's insane. That's for crazy people. I won't be doing that. But you guys have fun. I salute you.
Yeah, that will be me anytime I get back to Cedar Point.
Yeah, you have fun.
I'm so excited.
It was always fun to like growing up because we were close enough to Cedar Point that it was like, it would have been like a weekend trip, right? Like you go and you stay for a few days. But we would always get advertisements for it. And every time like one park built a coaster, the other park would build a coaster that was like very similar to compete with that to like get people to come to it. And so it was always fun like growing up watching like the wing coaster crop up at Six Flags and then a wing coaster would crop up at Cedar Point. And then they built the Goliath at Six Flags, which was the wooden steel hybrid. And then they did one at Cedar Point. And I was like, you guys are just fighting each other. That's very cute. I hope you're having fun.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go.
Well, maybe one day. Thank you again for those submissions. You can also email us at thelostyearspod@gmail.com. We might read your email on the show. Tell us how you're feeling. Tell us your favorite roller coaster. Yeah.
Please do.
We'll read your email on the show. You can also rate us and write a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Good Pods or wherever you get podcasts. You can also subscribe because that really helps us out, helps people find the show, pushes up the charts, and it's a nice thing to do for your friends. Sit and tag.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to the Scavengers Network for having us on the network. You can check out other cool shows like James and Aaron Minute Movies and Side Character Quests on www.scavengersnetwork.com. I'm trying to make that fun every time I do it.
Yeah. Our personal handles are in our show handles, but if you want to find me on the internet, twitch.tv/itstaycrow. I don't know what's happening in July. New Fall Guys just came out as we are recording this, so I'll certainly be playing a lot of that, probably with Sid, so go ahead and check me out over there. But yeah, the month of June was really fun and pride-filled, and I hope you came by.
Yeah. I'm on TikTok at Sudsley, and also I'm probably going to be doing something on Twitch at this point when I can get my stuff together. So that's twitch.tv/Sudsley. Yeah.
July, The Bachelorette starts. So Tay's live tweets, I will absolutely be tweeting that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I said live tweets. I'm going to be getting back into it. So
get us on there. We are funny.
We're fun. Do fun things.
You know, you're here. You're listening.
You clearly like us to some extent.
Somebody's hate listening.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know what everybody else on the internet is. If that's you, props to you.
Honestly, thank you. Because imagine. Couldn't be me. Anyway. Sorry, I interrupted you in the middle of your... Did you do all of yours?
I think so.
Well, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you for being here with us. A dog just barked in my background. I lost my train of thought completely. But thank you. We appreciate you. And we hope you're having a wonderful life wherever you are and whatever time of day it is. We love you. And thank you for listening. And why is this so long? I've been talking for so long.
I don't know.
We're going to go. Until next time.
You're Tay.
You're Sid.
Just like it's always been.
What else do you need to know?
Goodbye, fam.
Bye, fam.